our man Sam Cosentino, also with Sportsnet, down at the Hockey Combine in Buffalo. How are you today, Sam?
Yeah, doing great, guys. Nice to hear all of you. And, of course, you're taking a couple of different jobs there, right?
That's it. Yeah, I thought I'd do two shows in once. We're trying to get a few done for the holiday, so it's working out great here. Hey, you're doing a lot of things as well. And the Combine, how much is it the actual testing, the visuals that way, and how much is it the you think the chance to sit down and have face-to-face interviews?
Yeah, I think that's the more important part of it because, you know, you send your scouts out there and you have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be able to bring to the table skill-wise. But the down and the character-wise, which has increasingly over the years become more important to National Hockey League teams, I think that's the part that's weighted a little more in terms of when you look at the two elements of the combine, the physical part and the interview part. I think the interview part is weighted slightly more than the physical part.
Okay, so we all know it's either Nolan Patrick or Nico Hischier, 1-2, 2-1, whatever you want. Sam, can you give us an indication of who the next one after those two guys, like where is the next pool of guys that we should be concerned about and where they go 3 through 7?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, John. And this year, honestly, and every scout I've talked to, they say it's going to be a crapshoot after three. But a couple of guys that I would point out would be Gabriel Vilardi of the MasterCard Memorial Cup winning Windsor Spitfires. I thought he was really good in the tournament, a tall right shot guy that can play center, play wing, good puck protection type of guy. Possession numbers are really good, so that will impress the analytics side of whatever scouting staffs are looking at him. Miro Heiskanen is a defenseman who's had a really meteoric rise out of Finland. Really good at the under-18s. He's a guy that's going to be in consideration at that three spot. Casey Mittelstedt is a guy who bounced between the USHL and Minnesota High School to become, again, another high riser on the list. So there's a lot of guys in that next class from three on down that's going to make things really interesting. Owen Tippett of the Mississauga Steelheads is another guy. Who might be in that mix as well. But there's going to be a lot of different options for teams. And a couple of things, John, I think more so this year than in years that I've been covering this, you're going to see positional needs filled earlier in the draft. Usually it's we're going to take the best guy. But I think positional need, because of the nature of this draft, you see a lot of guys that are packed similarly right after that number two pick. So positional need might be a little bit more of an emphasis this year than in years that I can remember.
Sam, you know, the guys get all nervous with the interviews and everything that goes on with the general managers. But I also know that the testing can be nerve-wracking for some of these guys. And I remember covering the draft combine a few years back when Kasperi Kapanen was there. And he blew all the GMs out of the water with his physical and his conditioning that he had at the combine. Who's that guy this year that may not be a top 10 guy, but conditioning-wise and all the tests that he's done has just been very impressive?
Some of the tests have been ongoing here over the last 2 days. The big stuff goes tomorrow, but there's a kid by the name of D'Artagnan Jolie who plays in the Quebec League for the Baie-Comeau Dracaux, who, from what I understand, you know, their season ended quite early. He's been working out at in Ottawa, driving an hour back and forth, and he's a guy who sits probably at about the 101, 102nd spot in terms of NHL Central Scouting, who, from what I've been told, is a physical specimen and is really prepared and honed in on what the testing is going to provide for him. So he'd be one guy who'd be completely out of the blue. Michael Jolie is a guy who was his brother, who played in the Quebec League in the Memorial Cup a couple of years ago. He's got six brothers. He's one of the three musketeers. So he's kind of a bit of a dark horse guy when it comes to the physical testing.
Kind of curious, in the National Football League, they have that green room, right? And they don't have a ton of players there. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers, I think, was the guy years ago. But the one guy that gets stuck there late and wishes he hadn't come, agreed to go there. So if you are invited to the combine, you should be selected in what rounds? And where is a miss considered as well of a guy that didn't get invited and is picked, you know, higher?
Yeah, so I think we got 104 guys here, if I'm not mistaken. And if I go back to last year's, the number was similar. And I want to say 85% was the number that were taken. So there are a couple of misses, no question. But generally, if you're here, you're probably going to be taken. And honestly, you have Patrick and Hischier here. So you're looking at the 1 and 2 guys. Then you have, like, Jolie, who I just talked about, is probably a 5th or 6th round pick. And then you have kind of everything in between. I think what's become oftentimes re-entry players, meaning players in their second and third year of eligibility, there are fewer of them that get invited to this event. And that's become a little more popular in terms of the NHL draft once you get into the latter stages, because teams feel that there's more certainty in that player. They've had another year or two to watch those players. So some of those guys that don't get invited here because they're re-entries are guys that you would see pop up and say, oh, I didn't know about him, or he got passed over last year, or whatever the case might be. So there are some of those guys that will probably make some hay over the 2 days in Chicago.
I want to go back to what you talked about, drafting for positional purposes. Doesn't that just mean centerman and defenseman?
Yeah, exactly. You got to have the strength up the middle, right? So, yeah, I mean, the centerman's always going to be the most coveted thing, even if you have an abundance of them already, John, as you well know. And the same thing with defensemen, especially with how the game's changed. And having that one puck move defenseman or one power play guy isn't good enough anymore. That has to extend into your second pairing. And so those guys are obviously coveted for the skills that they bring to the table. And there are a few of them in this draft. Cale Makar would be one of them. Alberta Junior Hockey League, Brooks Bandits, he's a guy that's had a huge rise in the rankings. You know, two-time MVP, World Junior A Challenge, gold medal guy with Team West a couple of years ago. So he'd be a guy who you might consider in that range when you're talking about, about high-end defensemen and of course, the center position, too.
You know, Sammy, I remember when I was my draft year, and I remember looking at my physical stature and what I had, and I just remember just being the skinny little guy weighing about 160 pounds. Nowadays, when you're walking around the draft combine and you see these 18-year-old guys, how impressive is it? They just look like they're mature 25-year-old men, the way that these guys take care of themselves. I mean, there's no real surprises. Everybody comes in there, and they just look unbelievable nowadays, don't they?
Oh, it's crazy. We had two guys in our room this morning. Jake Ottinger is the projected number one goalie by the North American goalie by NHL Central Scouting, and walked in 6'3", maybe like 205, 210, Boston University guy. Just huge presence when he walked into the room. The same thing for Michael Rasmussen. He's a projected top 10 guy out of the Tri-City Americans program, who's injured a good chunk of the second half of the season. But the same thing, like 6'3", built, ripped, and those guys, I mean, obviously size is always going to play a factor, regardless of what team, but it is amazing to see. You're looking at some of these kids and you're saying, there's no way you're just 18 years old. There's no possible way. And those would be two guys that I would look at and say, if I didn't know any better, you're a National Hockey League player right now.
Yeah, the other thing was, man, I remember that with Tyson Jost last year, how much of a presence he had, and he hadn't even gone to college yet. You talked about how Velarde really made the most of the Memorial Cup, improving his play. And there's always the dark side of this question, too. Is that, were there guys that were in Windsor at the tournament that might have really hurt their play? And for the sake of argument, anybody on Seattle and St. John that were disappointments at the tournament that might have hurt themselves?
There's really kind of only one guy I can think about. Now this year's Memorial Cup was an older group and tons of drafted players. I mean, we had a couple of games where 20 guys had either been signed as free agents by NHL teams or already drafted. So you're talking about, on a 40-man roster, half of them have already had some NHL connections. But when it comes to the draft-eligible guys, Windsor had the two top-end guys and their goaltender, Michael DiPietro, who no doubt improved his stock. Velarde didn't have much higher to go, but I think he cemented his spot, in the top seven, maybe a little bit higher. But one guy I was really anxious to see that it's been talked about even by members from other teams in the other leagues was Sami Moilanen, a smallish Finnish player who plays with a little bite, plays with the Seattle Thunderbirds. He was just okay for me at the tournament, and I would say probably due more so to the physical rigors of the season, having to adapt to coming to North America, and a guy who to me, I thought he was just going to be a little bit better. So hopefully the viewings that were taken of him earlier in the year were a little bit more successful than what I was able to see over Seattle's three games.
Now, Sam, last year, Todd Aluska and myself, we got to broadcast live from Buffalo. And, of course, you being there, and after the first round on the Friday, the Leafs took the obvious pick. And then, boy, did they ever go off the chart. And people were scrambling. Thank goodness you were right in front of us. We just milked you for time after time. I don't know if other teams had comparable drafts, but teams like the Leafs last year, a year later, how does it look for a team that really went off the charts?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question, Gordon. It's funny because there seems to be philosophies that have put in the, into place now by teams. And I use the Arizona Coyotes as a perfect example. With their first pick in the first round, they went with Clayton Keller. Unbelievably skilled guy, got in NHL games at the end of the year. And then the rest of their picks, I think they had five more, were all defensemen. So there's something to it. It's not just by happenstance that you're taking five defensemen. Obviously, John Chayka is an analytics guy, and he knows what he's doing, and it looks like they're on the right path to knowing what they're doing. So there's something to that. Then I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and after Austin Matthews, which was the obvious pick, and it turned out to be a pretty good one, the Toronto Maple Leafs went for a lot of re-entry guys, mm-hmm. a lot of guys in their second and third year of eligibility. And I go back to, Adam Brooks would be a guy, 20-year-old in Regina this year, 250 points in the Western Hockey League the last couple of years. Those types of guys seem to be favored by Toronto. I also believe that there is something to that, and I do believe that it has to do with having more certainty in that player because they are a bit older. So it's more so philosophies that you see starting to take place and not necessarily guys who went crazy off the board with the variety of their picks.